Hello, dear listeners. We wish you a beautiful day in God's blessings. We are here today with international evangelist Joseph Bonfort. We will be asking him some questions which most of you, dear listeners, may want to ask. Dear Brother Joseph, God bless you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, nice to be here today with the Lord's Spirit. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to give a message about witnessing. Very important. I've heard of dear friends and brethren who are trying to witness to their relatives, and they're very concerned, and they pray, and they've asked for prayer, and they are asking how to do this. There are people in their own family that are not converted, they're not Christians. They are friends that they would like to convert to the Lord, but they don't know how. We know of friends that they started on the wrong foot, they used the wrong strategy, and actually they even scare them away from Christ. So it's important that we fight the battle of faith, but even more importantly, that we fight it correctly. Because it's not enough to grab your gun and run against the enemy, you just get shot after a few meters. You have to see the strategy, if you need to go running or crawling on the ground. I remember when I was in the army, they used to teach us different strategies. There was a time to run, a time to hide, a time to walk slowly. There was a time that they used to teach us how to walk in the night and when it was dark. There was a step, it was called the ghost step. So you have to move so slowly. See, the step one and step two and step three. Because like this, if you were walking in the dark, people don't see you. But if you just walk normally, make noise on the ground, they see you moving. But if you just move slowly, it's called the ghost step. So that's one way to walk in the dark. Then there is the jaguar step. And that was like crawling on the... Yeah, have you ever seen like a cat trying to get under a fence, which maybe is like 10 centimeters high or 15 centimeters? It really squashes underneath. That's called the jaguar step. That you had to crawl really as squashed down as possible to the ground. And then there is there are obstacles. You have to jump. Sometimes you have to run against the enemy. Sometimes you have to hide behind the tree. Sometimes you need the machine gun. And sometimes you need the cannon, the artillery. Sometimes you need the air force. So I'm using all this military terminology because I was in the army. So you must forgive me. I know that everyone uses their favorite way of speaking. Anyway, back to the point. What I'm trying to say is that when we go witnessing, we must use the right strategy. Okay, I have a scripture here I want to share. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses from 20 to 22. All right, I'll read it to you. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. Be not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Well, we need to speak Jewish to the Jew and Greek to the Greeks and English to the English speakers. Now, here it's not talking just about the languages. We understand that you have to use the language to the people who speak a certain language. You're going to speak Chinese to an Englishman. But what he's talking here, he's talking about the culture, the costume, the mentality, the way of thinking. You have to speak the language of the culture. Like to a musician, you might want to talk about music. To somebody who's into politics, you might want to talk about politics, and then you bring them to Jesus. To somebody who's into gymnasium and sports, you might want to talk about sports for a few minutes. And we need to gain the right of speaking. How? By listening to them. You have a question here. Yes.
I would like to ask you, what if I have certain principles, Christian principles, and I don't want to compromise?
Well, see, you're not compromising your principle when you become one, because it's not that, like Paul said, to those without the law, I become as without the law, right? He was talking about the law, the Old Testament, of course, the law of Moses. But then he says, but I am under the law of Christ. See, by becoming as without the law, you're not denying your faith. You're not receiving some mark of the beast, or you're not denying Jesus. It's not like that. You just become one. Like if you see in the book of Acts, Paul used to go to the synagogues and say, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee." By doing that, he was acquiring his ticket to put his foot in the door into the synagogues. And then he would talk about Moses, he would talk about the law. You can see that in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen, before he got stoned, he gave those people like one of the best overall of the whole history of Israel in a nutshell, in a chapter, to show them that he received the law, he believed in the law, he loved Moses, and that Moses was a man of God. So he was not a stranger to the nation of Israel, therefore the Jews could trust him. It didn't work in his case, he got stoned, but usually it's the best way to go about it. You have to become one with these people, and after you gain the confidence, you have to earn your right to speak by winning their hearts. By speaking Jew to the Jew and talking about the law of Moses to the Jews, and by listening and talking about sports with a sportman, and talking about politics and listening to somebody who talks about politics, you earn your right when your time comes. After listening, if you're a good listener, after 10 minutes, 20 minutes, the guy is going to listen to you. Because a good witnesser must, first of all, be a good listener. Yes?
I have a question. You said that Paul said, "I'm a Pharisee," and that's the way he approached the Pharisees.
Yes.
So he talked their language. And you said if somebody's a politician to talk as, you know, talk about politics. But what if I'm not into politics, if I'm not into sports, if I'm not into anything that they're talking about, what do I do then? Because I know maybe zero about politics and zero about sports.
Right.
What
right.
do I do then?
Well, it's very simple. You don't talk. You just listen. I just said that. One of the best, one of the smartest things you can do is just don't talk. That's why God gave us 2 ears, but only one mouth. See, a witnesser must be, first of all, a good listener. You know, but so many times I talk with my ears and I listen with my mouth. So I was too busy talking. The guy was trying to talk to me, and I was busy trying to talk to him, and nobody, and the only people listening were the neighbors, so nobody convinced anybody. But you see, in order for us to show them the love of Jesus, we must bring them to the point that they have to think, "Oh, what a nice guy, what a nice person, how friendly, how sociable, how agreeable." See, we shouldn't argue about every little thing somebody is saying. We should try to be agreeable. Jesus said, the best way to win it, Jesus said, agree quickly, he said, with your adversary as you are on the way. So agree. Why do you have to argue about communism and fascism and capitalism and finances and the politics? Just listen. You don't have to argue about these things. These things will end. They will finish. You know, just like communism, it imploded. It collapsed on itself. You know, you don't need to push the darkness out of people's lives. Just lift up the lights. Turn on the flashlight. Turn on the light. That's Jesus. You don't need to push the darkness out. We just need to be quiet and be good listeners and take our time. When after a while, people will have nothing else to say, because how long can they talk about politics and sports and the world and money? After a while, it's so boring, even they know. And then there comes your time. Then they will start talking about their problems. "Oh, I have a problem with my wife, my husband, my children." They start saying things like, my husband beats me up, he drinks. Or my wife, she runs around with every guy she meets. Oh, I don't know what the problem is. So you need to listen. And then when they, as soon as they bring the problem, you, the doctor, you drop a little drop of truth. All right? And this brings us to another subject. Don't be religious. The drop of truth, I mean the truth of Jesus. I saw the mistakes I made sometimes when I was pushing people to the Bible, pushing people to my religion, pushing people to my point of view. You see, when we witness, we should never say, "Come to my church." And the people know where your church is, or at least they know where a bunch of churches are, but they don't go. Why? They're not believers. Even if you read the Bible, it's like, you know, some people go knock door to door with, "Hello, we belong to such a group. Can we talk to you?" "No, okay, it's okay. I still talk to you." That's not the way to witness. You know, you saw people sometimes go door to door. "Hello, we belong to such a church. Can we talk to you?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, like, let's start talking." "Well, this and that." "Well, listen, That is not the way to witness. Don't witness by your 99% of your approaches, come to my church on Sunday. They know where your church is and they don't want to come. Well, they don't believe. But they will come to your house if you invite them for a piece of cake. They come to your house to drink a cup of tea, a cup of juice, to just do this and to do that. Just you see, the world, nobody listens to anybody. So if you just listen to somebody, if you just listen to them, the message is getting across, this person loves me. All right. Yeah.
How do I talk about Jesus to somebody who doesn't want to hear about Jesus?
Yes, right. That's the thing. See, the target is to bring them to the Lord, to the Savior, to Jesus. Well, it takes time. You know, sometimes I take 5 minutes, sometimes I take 3 minutes. You say, when I meet people, I say, hi, pleased to meet you, whatever. Then I shake hands and say, I'm a Christian. Of course, you say right away, you're a Christian. And then just listen to them. You see, one of the best ways I found for me to win is to say, I'm a Christian, but I am a non-religious Christian. People say, what is that? I never heard that. What does that mean? I say, well, let me explain to you. See, in the Bible, Jesus never said, I'm a religious. I'm a religious. I came to bring you religion from heaven. He didn't never say that. Okay, see, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word religion is used only 5 times, and mostly negative. It's like it's usually about the Pharisees. It's usually about this. Like, true religion, there are two religions, okay? Let's put it this way. There's the religion of man and the religion of God. The religion of God, it's all included 100% in Christ. The religion of man is presented in millions of different ways, and most of them false. So people will come to you and say, but religion is responsible of wars, responsible of killing millions. Religion is responsible of torturing people, responsible of forcing people to change religion. It's true. See, the first thing you have to do, you have to agree with as much as possible with your adversary. Okay, you have to find what the guy's right. You can talk to an atheist. You can talk to a demon-possessed. You can talk to an unbeliever. Find what you can agree on. Understand? Even an atheist, okay, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So even an atheist will say a lot of good things. You must find those good things and agree. And then if you agree with him, he will agree with you. See, love me, love my dog. How can a man love me and not love my dog? He will love my dog too. At least we put up with it. So if I agree with him, sooner or later he'll agree with me on some things. And then soon, as I start bringing the solutions, the guy is sick. Okay, well, let's pray. Jesus can heal you. Oh, listen, my marriage is going bad. Oh, praise the Lord. Share your testimony how your marriage, if you're married, was going bad. Or your parents' marriage. How you solve your situation by, not by religion, but by Jesus. All right. How you solve your situation by discovering that God is love. By trying not to get your wife or your husband to make you happy. But by working and studying and trying you to make your husband or your wife happy. All right. So this brings me to another subject. I want to read a few scripture here in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are some very important scriptures. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. There is an important scripture here I would like to read to you. And here this brings us to the important subject of children. Verse 3. Let's begin. Hear therefore Israel and observe it, that it may be well with thee. Verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. That's a scripture Jesus quoted, right? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. In other words, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you walk. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. You see, this is a very important subject. It's very important we teach our children to love the Lord. That is not by banging the Bible on their head. It's not by pushing them to church, otherwise they cannot watch TV at night. they have to go to church because they follow your example, because you love them into it. Never use the word of God to say, God will send you to hell if you don't stop doing that. That is negative. You should never mention, there's a commandment, thou shalt, there's an important commandment. Thou shalt not mention the name of the Lord in vain. Only mention the name of Jesus and God, only to show them the love that God has for us, only in a positive way. Never use the Bible or God as a in a negative way to punish people. As a punishment, go read the Bible. That if you do that, you're vaccinating them against the Bible. You only mention the name of God or the Bible when the good things are happening. Like, look, here is a present. The Lord just spoke to me to give you a present. Now we have to go do a special activity to the playground. Say, you know, we are praying. The Lord told us to go to the playground, which is true. Every good things come from God. So anything good and positive that we can think and do for our children always comes from God. When you cook a good meal, well, isn't it wonderful a good meal the Lord gave us? And when sometimes we only have old bread to eat, if we are poor, say, well, I saw some people going through the garbage, you know. Somebody was looking for food in the garbage. Look, we have some. Yeah, I know the bread is a little old, and we only have a little bit of cheese, maybe a couple of onions. Well, it's not very much, a little manna. But look, the people begging in the street. Did you see that guy yesterday? He didn't have any legs. You see a guy in a wheelchair? You know, always show that God gives us more than the world. And for sure, and if we continue in this kind of faith, for sure the Lord is going to bless us. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Joseph, you have 5 children. Can you tell us a personal example how you bring your children to Jesus?
Well, I have 5 children. I went soon to be born, number 6. Well, what I do is my example, the example of my wife and I is the key. It's like we cannot tell somebody, don't smoke like I do, or don't swear like I do, or don't be lazy like I am. I mean, because your children will not follow your hypocritical sermons, will follow your example. You cannot say, don't watch TV all day like I do, don't be a bad guy like I am, because the children say, yeah, and they'll do it. But the children, you don't have to tell your children in the morning, get on my knees and I pray. They'll find out. You don't have to tell your children, I love the Lord. They'll know. You know, the way to train our children is through love. It's not just through the stick, through spanking, or through the, you know, like when you give a punishment to a child, for example, okay, today you missed your get out. Okay, today you missed your dessert. All right, today you don't play your Legos. Okay, today you don't use the bicycle because you this and you disobey. It's like those things are really secondary. Like I really, really try to avoid punishments for my children. What I do a lot of times, I say, look, I'm going to, they come to me, they have big problems. I say, look, I'm going to follow the example of Jesus. Okay, you deserve a punishment. Look, I'm going to take my hands here. I'm going to slap my hands instead of you. So I give some slaps in my hands. Yeah, I do that. So the children actually, it really breaks their hearts. Okay, and sometimes I say, okay, look, as a punishment, you're not supposed to, you missed your dessert. Okay, then I miss my dessert. And they have it. You see, little things like that. People, the children will know, they know that you love them. So it's important to teach our children by our example. It's very important, okay? Thank you, Lord. Yes?
I have a question concerning witnessing, not in a religious way. That means I can never invite people to my church?
No, the best way is you can wait even 3 months or 6 months before they come to your church. There's no rush to push them into the sheepfold. They make them desire to come. Invite them to your house. Invite them to your love. Invite them to your friendship. Show them a Jesus that is friendship, that is joy, that is happiness. Maybe your friends need a pair of shoes and you have an extra pair. Give a pair of shoes. Maybe your friends need a little food. Bring a bag of bread. Maybe your friends need, I don't know, a word of encouragement. You see, then they're going to ask and say, oh, can I come to your church, to the church with you? I mean, in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip witnessing to a eunuch, and the eunuch, after he got witnessed for a long time by Philip, he said, there is water here. What stops me from getting baptized? See, Philip just gave so much love and so much truth and so much message and so much Holy Spirit and so much inspiration and so much friendship. The guy was exploding. I want what you have. I want to be like you. I want to get saved. There is water here. Look, clean, nice, crystal, beautiful water. Philip said, sure, if you believe, you can. But imagine and feel it with a gun like some of us do sometimes. Come to the church on Sunday. There is Joseph on Fogg preaching. Come. Good night. Because no, this is a good TV program this week. You understand? They have to desire it. How? They desire if you see your love, if you see your joy, if you see your happiness, if you see your friendship. Invite them to the real church. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Invite them, show them a Jesus of love and happiness. They will desire to come to your church. You're not going to fill your church by pushing people in, but by inspiring them. You understand? It's like you eat three times a day. Most people eat three times a day or four. Why do they eat? Because somebody's pushing them? Because they like the food. Our bridegroom is Jesus. We must show a Jesus, an inspiring Jesus, an exciting Jesus, a loving Jesus, a beautiful Jesus. You understand? And they will only see him through you, through our love and friendship. And then you don't have to worry about them coming to your church. They'll beg you, please take me. Of course, come on, let's go. You understand? Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That seems that we're covering almost everything, right?
Could you give us a practical sample how to witness to a non-believer?
Well, the best example is Jesus. Let's see how he was doing in the Bible. Like I said before, he was trying to become one to the people. Like when Paul was going, we said in the book of Acts, to the synagogues, he was saying, I'm a Pharisee, son of a Pharisee. And so like this, they would give him a chance to speak. And then, of course, he would preach slowly, slowly. He would bring him to Jesus, the gospel. And they would either receive him or throw him out, one or the other. But that's where you start. Jesus was the one who was first to give this kind of example. So he spoke the language of Nicodemus. He went to synagogues. He was invited to Pharisees' house. But at the same time, he was speaking the language of the publicans and the sinners. Look, there is a good scripture in Luke 7:34. It says, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified over children. In other words, the fruits. So that's the reputation Jesus had because he was going to these people to win them. Look, we see this also in the same book of Luke in chapter 5. It says, Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans, many publicans and others who sat down with them. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, Jesus is like, he was trying to reach the people at the level. You see, we, when we receive Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we become the righteousness of God. So now we need to come down from our pedestal, from our perfectionism, spiritual perfectionism, and speak the language of the sinners like Jesus did. He went to eat in the house of the publicans, which the Pharisees would not go because they get contaminated. So, like in the movie we see movies sometimes at Zeffirelli's and other movies, Jesus goes to the publicans and he wins. That's straight in the Bible. We must not dress up in a too strongly religious way. There is a time we go to church and we dress up in a churchy way. There's a time we go to the publicans, we need to dress up normal, like in a decent way, nice way, respectable way, but not necessarily strongly religious. You don't walk around with a Bible under your arms, keep it in your pocket. Okay? So this way you speak the language because they need salvation. The people who take drugs, the people who go to discotheque, people who smoke, people who drink, people who are alcoholic, people who blaspheme God, people don't believe in Jesus, people who make fun of religious people, people who are against Christianity. Those people need salvations. And we're not going to reach them the way the Pharisees were doing, dressing up like Pharisees. We're going to reach them doing like Jesus. Go into these publicans' houses, sit down in the tables, get contaminated in the flesh, that they may get purified in the spirit. And this way you're going to reach them. So Listen to your friends who don't believe in Jesus. Listen to them. Love them. Don't pull out the gun and start shooting to everything that moves. Don't pull out the Bible and start reading scripture. They don't believe in the Bible. Keep the gun in your pocket. Keep the Bible closed. Only when they open their hearts, you can a drop at a time. What did the doctor say? Take 5 drops, 3 drops, 2 drops. Why? There are medicines, if you give too many drops, you kill the patients. If you give too much salt, they're going to think that Christianity is too salty. Where the salt of your salt must be spread. They don't put a kilo of salt in a soup. That's why some churches, there are problems, division, gossip, arguments. They don't respect the pastor. They don't help the pastors because they're arguing too much salt in one place. Churches, after they get together on Sunday, then they have to spread. They go everywhere into all the world, their world, the world of their neighborhood, the world of their friends, and spread. All right? Peter and Paul, they didn't work together. They were separated. The disciples, they split in 12 different directions. And that's what we need. But today, we Christians, we sit in a church of 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000 of us sitting around and singing. That's okay, maybe once a week, 2 hours, fine. But then during the week, we meet to spread and witness, evangelize the neighbors, the relatives, the children, the parents, and evangelize everybody in Jesus' name. So we need to really understand that Jesus is calling us to this. And one way to do this is to carry tracks in our pockets, gospel tracks. All right? See, we make a gospel tracks. Personally, I write a lot of gospel tracks. And they're written in a language that the secular people find interesting. It talks about politics, sports, everything. And then it brings it to Jesus, but slowly. Look, if you write to us, we'll have somebody send it to you. We send you tracks for free. Just write to us. Then photocopy, distribute them. If you don't like them, you write your own or find somebody who writes better than me. We even have CDs about witnessing, about evangelizing, about healing. We have CDs about end time, the rise of the Antichrist, the great tribulations, how to be to go victoriously through the end time by the Spirit of Jesus. All right, so write and we send you, we have CDs, we have material, just write and we send it to you so you can listen over and over and you can use them, you give it to your friends and be an evangelist yourself and be a jewel, be a light upon a hill which cannot be hid. In Jesus' name, amen.